Hi there. Welcome to the New Life Live podcast. Steve here. And since 1988, New Life has been transforming lives one life at a time. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's most hard, difficult places. One way we do this is through the live program that we share with our listeners here on this podcast. Now, you'll get to listen to callers bringing us their challenges, and our panel of counselors and psychologists provide insight, which you will learn from too.
Hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown, and today I have Dr. Jill Hubbard and J.J. West joining for the show for an hour. We're going to be taking your calls, so give us a call at 1-800-229-3000. I know you've got something on your heart, your mind, that Jill and JJ can give you their wisdom and get you on a path of recovery. I mean, it just would be great for you. If you're struggling with something, just give us a call. You know, one of the things that people struggle with quite a bit is anger. Mm-hmm. And yet, at the same time, anger is a really important emotion for lots of different reasons. What is the difference between good and bad anger, if there is such a thing?
Well, okay, I'll jump in. So good anger, I think, is empowering. It motivates you to change. It can feel better than being stuck in depression or grief. And it can highlight some things. So in that empowering, it can give you a voice. So, but as the Bible tells us, you know, be angry and sin not. So we want to not just react out of our anger, but take our anger and say, okay, now how can I use this in a direction that can move me towards change and the things that I need to say, and you know, how can I be bolder, I think. So,
well, and don't you think too, Jill, how do people know when it's time to express that anger? Because a lot of people don't even realize that they're angry or that they need an outlet for that anger, which seems really strange because you think, well, I know when somebody's angry. But right. There's a lot of people that anger is below the surface. JJ, what are your thoughts about it?
Yeah, certainly we have to pay attention. A lot of times people are so shut down with lots of emotions. They've shut down all of their emotions, so they're not paying attention to anything that's going on. So part of the process in being able to learn to use our anger effectively and not sin in our anger is simply paying attention to what's going on. What am I feeling? Mm-hmm. What am I aware of? And then when I'm aware that I am angry, instead of doing the kind of the typical church thing, which is, oh, don't be angry. Push that away. Don't feel mm-hmm. that. Instead, recognize anger is simply a secondary emotion, right? It's being fueled by a primary emotion that's underneath. So instead of trying to push away and ignore the anger, let me drill down past the anger. I'm going to still feel what I feel. I'm going to feel the anger, but let me drill down to what's underneath. What's fueling it? Is it fear? Is it loneliness? Is it grief? Is it pain? Mm-hmm. Is it shame? And be able to let the anger expose some of the things that are underneath that are going on that I probably need to bring to God, that I probably need to express to another person in a healthy way. Or is there anger at injustice? Is there anger at something that's going wrong? And let that passion fuel my response, not a reaction, but a response to what I'm experiencing.
Right. Where when we have bad anger, it's very reactionary. It's like a one-note song. It's rageful. It lashes out at people and leaves them in a puddle, right?
Yeah. It's destructive,
well,
right?
It's destructive. That's it.
Bad anger is destructive. Yeah. Good anger is constructive and repairing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'll preach. I tell you, you know, one of those things is there's a lot of people that are walking around angry and they don't realize it. And they only judge the anger when it is destructive. And yet there's so much more beyond that, like you both talked about. We're going to be talking about a lot of things today. Don't get mad about it. Just give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We can help you with that anger and many other things as well. We'll be right back after this.
Mm-hmm. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are going to be taking some calls. We've got some open lines and got some coming in, but you can call us 1-800-229-3000. We're going to talk with Jody, who's calling us from Baltimore and listens on WAVA. Hi, Jody. How can we help you today?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. And I'm calling about my misplaced, well, not misplaced, but my anger that I've had for many, many years, that it just seems to get worse and worse. I don't know. I've had counseling. I've prayed about it. I've done everything I can to think, and I just can't let things go.
How has it manifested, Jody? What trouble has it caused you?
Financially, heartbreak. Probably about 15 years ago, my husband had an affair and left. But before he did that, he sold everything out from underneath of me. I'm 66 years old, so, you know, I don't have anything. 2 years after that, my daughter became an alcoholic. He lost her three children to her husband, who thankfully is a great father. But I just every day I wake up, I'm so angry at the whole world. I hate to admit it, I'm very angry at God. I have prayed. I have prayed over my situation, and it gets worse.
Well, Jill, why don't you start? Why don't you go ahead?
Well, Jody, I'm so sorry. And life is just so hard. And it's like we don't just get hit with one huge wave. It's multiple, right? And it seems like they just compound. It makes sense that you would be angry about all that your husband did and did that impacted you greatly, right? This is one of those situations where you're having to deal with the fallout from his sin. And it's not fair. It's not fair at all. No matter what kind of, we always say, no matter what kind of wife you were, you didn't deserve this.
Right.
Oh, I was a good wife, trust me.
Yeah.
It was very important to me to be a good wife and a good mother. We were actually married for 36 years.
Wow.
Wow. And I just, I'm very angry about that.
Right, right. But sometimes we hold on to that anger because we need to know that somebody knows, that somebody's not going to forget what was done to us. And the unfairness, the injustice of it. And I love in one of Dave Stoop's books, he talks about
forgiving what
you'll never forget. He talks about that. And that pull, like to really give way to forgiveness is like, well, wait a minute. Then he's getting away with it and nobody will remember. And so, but holding on to that, you know, you're telling us it's really caused you great difficulty. And so in being angry at God, it sounds like it's hard to trust him because we all have sometimes these unspoken myths or expectations like, God, I've done everything right. So then you're going to reward me for that. And then when he doesn't do that and our life still goes awry, even though we've done all the right things, it's really confusing. And it's like, okay, well, this was my paradigm. Now what? And it's hard to sit.
It's like the, you know, if something's taken away from you wrongly, you'll be returned to it seven times. You know, I haven't gotten anything returned. I am so ran off right now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And health problems and other financial problems and, you know, nothing's been returned to me seven times, zero times, no times. And there he is, happy, happy.
I know. The wicked will prosper for a season, Jody. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to watch these people who are so destructive, and it's like it doesn't touch them. But they prosper for a season. And see, in the midst of all of this, God is still God. And where else are you going to go if not to God?
Well, that's my problem. I mean, I 100% believe he's there, but I do get angry. You know, I go back and forth. There's a few weeks that I trust him completely, and I keep waiting. But just one good thing, God, just one thing to get me rolled, just never happened. Nothing. So I don't know.
Yeah. Jody, there's a couple. Mm-hmm. Jody, there's a couple things I wanted to say here in response to your issue. Two things, actually, that I really want to bring up. One is that oftentimes when something is done to us that is unjust and it's painful, like what you experienced, we feel so powerless. Mm-hmm. It's not fair. And when we feel powerless, one of our natural responses is to power up. Mm. I feel powerless, so I want to power up. And anger is a very powerful emotion. And so we often will go to anger as a way to power up, to try to balance the scales back, right? I felt powerless, and I want to use anger to power up, to somehow try and regain some sense of control of my life, as though if I get angry enough, then this bad thing will never happen to me again. And we start trusting in our strong, powerful anger emotion to protect us. We start trusting in that instead of God. We start trusting in our ability to protect ourselves instead of trusting in God to be our shield and our defender. So that's one piece of the equation that I want you to pay attention to, is how often am I wanting to use anger as a way to power up and try and regain control of a world, a universe that is not in my control. And then the second thing is jumping off of something that Jill said, which is this whole idea of the righteous prospering. If you go back, the book of Psalms, right, it's broken up into five different books. Book one starts off, it's very clear, the righteous prosper and the wicked perish. Book two, Psalm 42, it starts to get a little wonky. And it's the wicked perish. Sometimes the righteous don't prosper. Sometimes the righteous suffer. By book three, which is Psalm 73, which I want you to spend some time in this week. Psalm 73, okay. The psalmist says, God, I don't get it. Everything is turned on its head. The righteous are suffering and the wicked are prospering. What gives? I don't get this. And the psalmist even has this kind of crisis of faith. And at the end, though, he comes to this realization of what Jill was saying, that it's only for a season that the righteous prosper. When God pulls back the camera lens and we see the whole span of time from his perspective, we see something very different. And that their end is different than what we see in this lifetime. So I would just encourage you to spend a little bit of time there reflecting on that idea of, yes, it's unfair that he took advantage of you. Yes, it makes you feel powerless. But me turning to anger doesn't solve that problem for me. In fact, what it does, it creates a whole new set of problems for me.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, Jody, I'm going to send you a copy of the 100 Days of Freedom from Anger, which is, it's a devotional, but there's a lot of good scripture. There's prayer that will help you. But I also want to encourage you to get into recovery. Now, that may seem like such a left field thing, but what we know for sure is the anger that we carry around, like they just said, can impact us in so many ways. And we just need a process to move forward. I also, one more thing, is I want to invite you to be part of our free webinar tomorrow, 1 p.m. Central Time. And we'll get you the link. It's for Restore. It's for the women who've experienced betrayal. And Stacey Sadler is the presenter. She's one of our speakers at Restore. But we're going to talk about anger and how that impacts us as well. So I hope that all of that will get you into the right direction. Actually, it's Thursday, the 25th. I just got notice on that. So we're glad that you called, Jody, and we'll be praying for that, just that freedom from anger. We're going to go back to the calls, and you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. We're going to talk to Paul, who's calling from Sterling, Virginia, listens on WAVA. Hi, Paul. Thanks for calling. How can we help you?
Hello. Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Sorry. I didn't want the radio to interfere. I just want to start by saying thanks for the help that you offer your listeners. I really appreciate that. It's great to listen to it every day.
Well, you're welcome. How can we help you? Oh, he just dropped. Paul, if you're listening, you can call us back. We're going to go to River, who's calling us from Salem, Virginia. Listens on WAVA. Hello, River. How can we help you today?
Hello. I thank the Lord for you guys and your ministry, and I'm praying for you. My question is, how do I get unstuck? I'm stuck with this complex of, like, do I blame my parents? Do I not blame my parents for where I'm at in life? And that's just blocking me for some reason. And I know blaming people is not the way to go, and I deal with this anger, and it just comes. There's, like, this point where I can't even look at my parents when they try to talk to me, and I'm, like, 33, and it's just not... So just how I get unstuck in my recovery process is kind of the way I'm going. That's my question. Thank you.
Okay. All right. JJ, you want to start?
Sure. Absolutely. We oftentimes are on this spectrum where we're either on one end where we're blaming everyone and saying, it's your fault that I feel this way. It's your fault that I experienced this. It's your fault that I'm struggling in the ways that I'm struggling. Or we go to the other end and say, none of my experiences in life, none of the people in my life matter at all. They don't have any impact. It's all my fault. And it's really important when we're looking at this to recognize it's not a blame game. It's a data game. When I look at my story, when I look at my life, I'm looking at the data. I'm trying to understand why I've made the choices that I've made. Full stop. Listen, we sin because we're sinners. We're born dead in our transgressions and sins. I sin because I'm a sinner. But the way in which I sin, particular nuances of my sin, if you will, are greatly informed by my family of origin, how I grew up, how I was raised, the experiences that I had, not just with my parents, but my siblings, extended family, friends, school, all of that matters. It shaped who I am. It shaped how I respond to the world. So you want to look at it not as a blame game, but as a data game. What are the things that my parents did that impacted my view of the world, my view of myself, how it shaped me, but also recognizing that I'm still responsible for my response, right? There's the sin that was done to me that I'm not responsible for, but then there's also my sinful response to the sin that was done to me that I am responsible for. And that's part of the way we get unstuck, is by owning what we need to own, but not ignoring the stuff that other people did that had an impact on us.
That's good. Jill?
So it's a both and, River, but it's not, I like how you frame that, JJ, about data. It's not about blaming. And the thing is, regardless of what happened to us, I mean, first of all, God gave us the parents that we have. We learn from good parents and we learn from bad parents in terms of what to do and what not to do. But he also gave us a brain, right, to discern. And no matter what was done to you, when you reach the age of adulthood, it's now your job and responsibility to work on yourself and change the things that have impacted you. And so, like JJ said, that does involve looking back and understanding how you became who you are in context, right? And grieving some of those losses, the ways in which parents fell short or hurt you. And look, we all fall short. So everyone has some grieving to do in terms of parents. But now, as long as you use them as an excuse, you will stay stuck. Because none of us got the ideal childhood that was just right. And if we had had all those things in place, then we would be a super successful person. That's really not a formula that exists, but we all think that it does. Or many of us think that it does. And that can keep you stuck, because now it's like, well, I didn't have ideals, so what am I going to do? Well, you're going to get to work.
Right. Well, and what I would encourage you, River, we're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, but I also want to get you connected with a coach, because I think sometimes when we're stuck, we need that direction, and a coach can be a great way for you to get moving forward. Counselors can too, but we can't stay stuck in the place of, this is just where it is, and I don't know what I'm going to do about it. You're going to need outside help, and we'll see that you can get started in that direction.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, JJ, we were talking about anger in the beginning segment. And, you know, what is the connection between men who use porn and anger? Is there any connection?
Yes. Yes, there is. Because we can use anger and porn in the same way as a way to hide from, numb the emotions that we perceive to be negative. Things that we don't want to deal with. So I might be feeling fear, anxiety about what's going on in my workplace. And I might try to escape that feeling of anxiety by looking at pornography for however long I want to do that as a way to escape. I might do the same thing where I use anger to cover up or hide that fear. Or I might be doing that with loneliness. I might be doing that with sadness. I might be doing that with grief. I might be doing that with shame, where I'm using either anger to hide from that, because I'm up here on the surface with my secondary emotion of anger, instead of diving down to the primary emotion, the what's in the core, the fear, the shame, the grief, whatever. So I might be doing that with anger, or I might be doing that with my acting out behavior as a way to numb, to not feel what it is that I feel.
Well, that's great. If you're a man and you're dealing with porn addiction or porn use and anger, you can come to the Every Man's Battle workshop. We're going to do it June 2nd through 4th in Orange County. You can call us and we'll get you connected. It could be the start of a new life, and JJ will meet you there because he's our presenter.
That's right.
So, yeah.
You know, one other thing I would say to that, Becky, if you don't mind, is that oftentimes we'll feel all this self-contempt about our whatever our sexual acting out behavior is. And that'll show up in contempt for others. It'll show up in my anger as I'm driving and I'm about ready to rip the head off of the person that just cut me off or sat at the green light for half a second. A lot of that is my own self-contempt that I haven't dealt with over my acting out behaviors.
That's great. I mean, it's not great, but it's great to know that there is a is there an underlying issue that can be dealt with. Well, let's go back to the calls. We are continuing to take calls, 1-800-229-3000. We're going to talk with Lisa, who's calling us from Chicago, listens on SiriusXM. Hi, Lisa. Thanks for calling, and how can we help you?
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
Good, good. I'm calling in regards to a gambling problem. I've been married over 30 years. This is a recent problem, but probably maybe a year. I am recovering from cancer. I was sick for a couple of years and could not work anymore. I started gambling because I was bored. Won a few times, thought it was the most wonderful thing in the world, and then just lost control of it. I've gambled quite a bit of money away. My husband was very understanding in the beginning, and I'm trying to do better. I have done better. I was to the point where I was gambling my entire disability check. And then when that was gone, I was dipping into his checking account and lying to him about where the money was going. Him and I recently sat down and had a very good conversation in regards to me being honest with him about where my money was going, and I promised him I would improve and do better, and I have, but it's still an issue. Not as severe as it was, and he still gets angry when I spend any money now. I mean, it's not even just a little bit, he's always mad because I spend too much money. You know, if I go grocery shopping, I spend too much money. It's just, I know I need help with the gambling because that's at the root of his anger at me. I just don't want my.
But okay, Lisa, let's look at all these things that you felt completely powerless in. You had cancer, right? So you're recovering from that.
Yeah, I actually had a stroke and then a heart attack and then bypass surgery and then cancer, all within probably 6 years.
Wow. Okay. Wow. That even makes it even all the more.
I'm telling you, God is good.
Yeah. Here. You're still here. But so then you can't work and you're bored and you start playing this and you get hooked. And gambling, like you said, when you win, it's exhilarating, right? Man, is that a dopamine hit. Right, and it's the vagus effect, right, that intermittent reinforcement. And so it really sucks you in. But I think it also gives you a sense of power and maybe hope, right?
Yeah,
even though
I think hope is a big part of it.
Okay.
And it's not like, I'm not like gambling at the machines. This is all scratch-off tickets.
Right, okay.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And the hope is a big thing because you win, it's like, oh my gosh, I won this money and I can pay a bill that we couldn't afford to pay before. But then it got to the point where I was just throwing everything I won back into the lottery.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lisa, you can hear the music. We're going to take a break and we'll come back. You know, okay. One of the things that we do talk about in any type of addiction is that ritualization. And so when you said the scratch-off tickets,
yeah,
there's an activity that takes you out of, you know, your normal routine, and it becomes the routine. And it's so mm-hmm. powerful. We don't even realize how powerful those patterns lead us down that path. Hold on, Lisa. Don't hang up. We're going to be back after the break. We're going to continue taking calls at 1-800-229-3000. And we do have some lines open. You know, if you need a counselor, we've got them all over the country, and we can connect you with somebody in your area that can help you.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with Lisa, who has a gambling problem. And it's amazing how it can just sneak up on you, and that's what your experience has been, Lisa. Jill, did you want to finish your thought before we go to JJ?
No, JJ, you can jump in. I think I was done.
All right. Thanks, Jill. So, Lisa, I want to say that when you are engaging in this behavior of gambling, there are some things that are happening neurochemically in your brain mm-hmm. that are driving okay. the behavior for you. So we don't have enough time to go into all the specifics of what's happening, but it is important to recognize mm-hmm. that every time I start to even think about gambling, every time I start to go to the store to buy the tickets, as Becky was talking about right before the break, when I am engaged in the behavior of scratching the stuff off the ticket, right? Mm-hmm. All of that is yeah. causing chemicals to be released in my brain that make me feel good. They make me feel really good. I get excited about what's this going to lead to. And then mm-hmm. when I win, I feel really, really good. I have this, you know, this dopamine dump in my brain. And that is counterbalancing what I'm actually feeling, which is I'm feeling powerless over all of these medical issues that I'm having. I'm feeling powerless over financial situation that I can't work now. I'm feeling I'm probably feeling a bit of anxiety around the state of my marriage. I'm probably feeling some anxiety and powerlessness around my ability to overcome this, right? So I'm using the addiction to counterbalance these negative emotions, but me engaging in the behavior is also fueling these negative emotions, right? Because it's putting my marriage more at risk every time I engage in this behavior. It's causing me to feel even more powerless. It's causing me to feel more shame. And so then I have to go back to the behavior.
The shame is really hard.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Guilt. If you look at the addiction cycle, the guilt and shame is a huge factor in the addiction cycle.
Yep.
What you have to learn to do is to catch the thought as it's happening, catch that negative thought as it's happening, where I feel, maybe I feel overwhelmed, maybe I feel scared, maybe I feel powerless. Catch that thought, take it captive. This is what Scripture tells us, right? 2 Corinthians 10, 10:5, I think it is. Or is it 10:13?
Could you repeat 10:5. I'm sorry. Corinthians what?
I think it's 2 Corinthians 10:5, but I could be wrong on that reference. Okay. But basically, it's the reference where it says to take every thought captive and bring it under submission under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, we have to understand that that phrase there, it means to wrestle to the ground through military force. That's what it really means in the Greek. So this is hard work.
Oh, wow.
This isn't easy. This isn't just, oh, I've got to change my thought in this light, airy way. It's a, I've got to grab hold of it and wrestle it to the ground, right? Because it wants to take hold of me. That negative thought, that negative emotion wants to have power over me. So I've got to get in the game. Okay?
Wow.
And then realize, Paul also says in his other letter that no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but in every way will provide a way of escape so you can stand up under it. So that being said, it's not all up to me. It's not how powerful I can be to overcome this thought. It's that I'm relying on the God who is able to do far more than I can ask or imagine. So I got to take the thought captive, but then I have to replace it with something else. I have to replace it with a thought that's going to have us some sense of connection with God, self, or others. It may not have the same... feel the same intensity that the gambling does, but it's going to give me a sense of connection with God or myself or others that allows me to feel some of that dopamine hit, that allows me to feel some of that chemical drip that I need in my brain, but not with the guilt and shame price tag that my other behavior does.
That's right. And, you know, Lisa, it's going to take a process. Jill, you thought about that?
Yeah, Lisa. So it's about sitting with the negative feelings a little bit longer. You want to keep stretching your tolerance and capacity to sit with these feelings, because you're just trying to run away from them as fast as you can. So in the replacement, this is why people go to 12-step groups, right? This is where Gamblers Anonymous would be really good, and getting a sponsor.
Yeah,
and
I tried that, but there aren't any close to where I live, like literally 30-40 miles.
Okay,
away.
But Lisa, they're online too.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can do them online. There are phone meetings. There's all kinds.
Right.
They reach all over the place. So you just have to do a little more digging.
That's right. Well, and we'll send you a copy of the Life Recovery Bible that has the 12 steps in it, also incorporates scripture.
Sorry, how about Every Believer's Thought Life?
That would be great, too. We'll send that to you. And we also have Life Recovery groups all over the country that do online groups as well. But I agree, that's got to be part of the process. You can't do this on your own. It hasn't worked up to this point.
No, and it's not about just trying harder. It's about doing different, Lisa.
Right. Well, and Steve always says trying harder makes trying harder. So it's, you know, if it's not one thing, it's another. One of the things that we love to do is say thank you to all of you who are giving. And Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio, and I know, Larry, that's on your heart at most of the time, right?
It absolutely is. Is the mic working?
Yes,
we hear
funny.
You.
Okay, thank you. I couldn't hear myself. I do want to say thank you. We have had this matching gift. $325,000 has been put out there as a challenge to y'all, and I think we're just a little over $140,000 right now. So we have a ways to go, but we're gaining on it. But anything you can do to help us with that, it means. Whatever you give, it's going to be doubled. Somebody has already deposited something in the account, and that something says, when somebody else gives, take this much out of this account and put it in that one, so we're going to be doubled. So thank you for that. I heard you and JJ talking about Every Man's Battle coming up in June. And I want to read a real brief testimony from a man who received a scholarship to go there, because scholarships are another way you can give as well. It helps people so directly. He writes, "I'm so grateful for the opportunity New Life provided me to be here this weekend. This weekend, I was able to find the acceptance and connection that I have been longing for in my life. The men that I met are now brothers, and I look forward to the things we will accomplish together. This weekend allowed me to experience freedom from my shame in a way that I never expected. It has also reopened the door to my relationship with Jesus Christ, my Savior. Thank you, New Life." I love this for many reasons. This is, number one, the spiritual reconnection with Jesus. That's the best of all, because that's going to empower him and give him the ability to do what he needs to do to get back on top with things. And just if you dissect this, he met men that are his brothers. He found acceptance and connection that he's been longing for his entire life. Imagine that. And then he experienced freedom from shame. This weekend, that guys, if you haven't signed up, I'll just say you're nuts. Come on, sign up. Do it. Give us a call, 800-NEW-LIFE. We want to help you. And ladies, if you have a husband or a boyfriend or a father or somebody that needs it, call and make the first call and get him going. You guys can do this. This is a great weekend.
I agree. I always am so grateful to hear the testimonies that you bring, Larry. And, you know, it's amazing what God is doing with the willing hearts of men who will say, you know what, I want a better life. And that's what we're all about here. Thanks, Larry.
Sure enough.
We're going to go back to the calls, and we are going to speak with Debbie, who's calling us from Manassas, listens on WAVA. Hi, Debbie. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. Honey, I sort of like you had a call earlier, but I was driving and I didn't get to hear it all. I've got some anger problems. I'm 71 years old. I was married when I was 20 and had my kids and stuff. And I was kind of like in a mental abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. My husband, excuse me, dictated everything pretty much, which back then was a thing, you know, that was just what you did. Mm-hmm. And I had no problem with that because I enjoyed raising my children so much that it didn't bother me. And, I mean, silly things, but he really controlled me.
Debbie?
Like, example, like my daughter. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. We have music. That means that we're going to go to a break. If you have a real quick question before the break, we can think about it, and then we'll get some details after.
Okay. Well, God said I should forgive him, and I have forgiven him. I said I forgave him. He never asked me. I said I forgave him. But I don't. I'm so angry. Mm. And I see my daughter. I'm angry at her because she's doing the same thing.
Okay, we'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with Debbie, who had a really difficult marriage with a husband who was angry. You
or
think
she's
that you...
angry.
No, I'm angry now.
She's angry now.
Yeah,
okay.
And I'm trying to live like Jesus, and I'm angry at myself because I'm failing, and mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just, it's on my mind all the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, so, Jill or JJ,
Debbie,
let's help her.
Yeah, let me jump in here. Debbie, a couple things come to mind. One is that it's important for us to recognize when I forgive someone, that doesn't mean that the anger just goes away. The anger doesn't just dissipate or vanish because I forgave. Especially if I'm having regular reminders, like in your case, you see the same behavior in your daughter on a regular basis. So you're having these regular reminders of the pain that you experience, the abuse that you experience. So it's understandable that you would still have this emotional response to what you experience, this mm-hmm. anger. The anger doesn't dissipate just because I forgave. Forgiveness simply means that I'm no longer demanding payment for that offense anymore. Right? I've canceled that debt. So my husband no longer owes me for the ways that he was abusive to me or the ways that he was controlling. I'm no longer demanding payment for that, but I'll still have an emotional response. Mm-hmm. And some of that might be anger, but I would ask you to consider something that we talked about on one of the earlier calls, which is perhaps one of the things you felt when you were experiencing the mental, emotional abuse, when you were experiencing the controlling behaviors, that maybe you felt powerless. And your anger is a way to power up from that powerlessness. Your anger is a way to try and right the wrong, to balance the scales in some way and give yourself some of that control back as a way to say, I want to be in control of my life. And perhaps instead of turning to anger, you can look at, God, am I letting you be in control of my life? And am I trusting you to protect me rather than letting my anger protect me from future harm?
Very good.
I agree. Like I said, I asked God to help me, and I just, it's always on my mind. And I know it'll be done in His time. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So
but it's just, and I feel like I'm not being more like Jesus, you know? I mean, I'm just striving to be more like Jesus.
Well, and Debbie, and it sounds like you are, I would be telling Jesus about all of this. Mm-hmm. Sometimes for people, when things just keep going round and round and round inside of them, doing some journaling, some writing, write a letter to God. Tell Him everything that you're feeling. Get all of that out, because it sounds like within the context of your marriage, there was enough good in raising the kids and mm-hmm. just the times and what you knew at that time, it was easy to maybe just go along with it. And now I'm wondering, and I think you may have said, even some anger at yourself for not recognizing these things sooner or changing this dynamic sooner. And that's where there has to be some forgiveness of yourself and using what you know now to do it differently. You have a daughter that has similar behavior. Okay, well, you can set boundaries with her that perhaps you didn't do with her dad. And you can even say to her, you know, your dad acted this way, and I didn't ever say anything, and I'm so sorry that I led you to believe that this was okay. But I realize now, in my kind of stage of reflecting on my life, this really was never okay. And so, sweetheart, I have to say no to you in this area, because it's what I should have done before.
It's so powerful. I think, Jill, you mentioned Dave's book earlier, Forgiving What You'll Never Forget.
Oh,
and Debbie, we're going to send that to you, and it will help you in this process. It's just, and if you need a counselor to help kind of process that feeling, like you said, JJ,
one question?
Yes.
Debbie, when you say you're not acting like Jesus in your anger, what do you mean by that? What is it that you're doing that's not like Jesus?
Well, I forgive him, yet I didn't. I said it and I didn't. And I shouldn't be getting angry. I mean, I get angry, like at my daughter. I shouldn't be getting angry. Or I shouldn't be upset about this or get angry over that.
Okay, so I want to challenge you here, because when you say that me being angry is not like Jesus, that's not entirely accurate. Jesus did get angry. He didn't sin in his anger, but he did get angry. And so it's important that we don't hold ourselves to the standard that I don't feel this negative emotion. But if I'm behaving in a sinful way in response to my anger, that's something I need to deal with. But me simply feeling anger, me being upset when someone is acting in an inappropriate way, they're being controlling, they're being abusive. Me having anger toward that is not me sinning. Now, I can sin in my anger, I can yell at them or call them names or think bad thoughts about them. And those are things I need to certainly repent of. But me simply feeling anger is not an automatic sin. You holding on to anger and not forgiving, yes, that you need to deal with. You're absolutely right. You need just saying the words, it's not enough. I actually have to engage in forgiveness, which is saying, I'm canceling the debt. I'm not going to hold that over you anymore. But be careful that you're not giving yourself an extra hurdle to jump over by saying I have to get to this place where I never feel any anger.
Right, a standard we were never meant to keep, right? And right. I wonder too if in reaction to your daughter, if you feel like you're overreacting to your daughter or you're having intense reactions to her, Debbie, that may be that you have to do some really looking at how much of this belongs to your daughter, how much of this belongs to your ex-husband, and really try to separate the two out. Even though your daughter may be similar, she is not your ex-husband, right?
I think all of this is going all the way back to how we opened the show today about determining what is good and bad anger and what to do with it, and understanding that forgiveness is one big decision. Yeah. Followed by a bunch of little decisions, you know, it's when those feelings start popping up and it's like, no, I let that go. And what do I need? What tools do I have? That's where recovery can come into play too, because there are processes there of surrender, of accepting the things that you cannot change, the wisdom to know the difference, right? Mm-hmm. But it's such a valid point to what you just said, Jill, that we raise a higher standard than what is really expected of us. We're going to have feelings about the things that happened to us. And even though we make the decision to forgive, we still are going to have feelings.
Even when you've done a lot of healing work, if you poke a wound that is like, you know, scabbed over, you're going to stir up some feelings there.
Right. And I think, isn't that just an indication, oh, I've got more work to do?
Absolutely.
It's not a shame pointing that you didn't figure it all out, you didn't get it all right. It literally is welcome to being human, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just, it is that process. Well, as we close out today, do either of you have a closing thought just to encourage us in this journey of getting rid of anger?
That we are honest about our anger, that we come before God with our anger, that we surrender our anger to him, and that we let our anger take us to those deeper things that need to be addressed in front of him.
That's wonderful.
Well, and then at any age, we can continue our growth process and bring it before the Lord and others.
So true. So true. Thanks, Jill. Thank you, JJ. If you need help, give us a call. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We want to get you free of those things that are keeping you down.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.